Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted. I'm Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, let's get right into a big picture issue, you might say, for the Packers heading into 2016. This will be Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy's 11th season together as a GM head coach combo. They just finished their 10th last year. And you did a little research for a story that's coming out in the Packers yearbook later this summer. These 10-year, decade-long combinations, GMs and head coaches, it's pretty rare in the NFL.
It is, Mike, and that was one of the things that kind of struck me. When you go back to the 1970 merger, there's only been five pairings before McCarthy and Thompson that have actually reached that decade mark together. You'll see coaches last for over 10 years. You'll see GMs stay in there, but very rarely do they stay together. And when you look at the kind of putting the fit, you know, figure out the stats and everything, they're really the second winningest right now among them, aside from, you know, Tom Landry and Tech Schramm in Dallas. And that was probably the thing that struck me the most in terms of when you're in the moment, it's hard to realize kind of what they've accomplished so far. And I think it's been pretty impressive when you look back on it now, what they've sort of developed here with the seven straight playoff appearances.
Yeah, the playoff appearances, eight in all in 10 years for this duo. And when you look at some of the other numbers, I've got this fancy little chart handy
nice.
That you put together for us. But you mentioned the winning percentage. Thompson and McCarthy are right on the heels of Tom Landry and Tech Schramm from Dallas. The Cowboys pair had 14 playoff appearances. Chuck Knoll and Dick Haley in Pittsburgh, 12 playoff appearances, 8 for Thompson and McCarthy. So those are numbers that they could potentially reach if they stay together a while longer. And then the Super Bowls, the Steelers with 4, the Cowboys duo with 2. If Thompson and McCarthy get that second Super Bowl, they really are in the conversation potentially as, you know, maybe the best or certainly one of the top two duos maybe of all time.
Yeah, and I think what makes them really unique, one of the most fun assignments I've had, not only with the Packers, but just in general, you know, my time as a writer, was sitting down with both Mike and Ted and talking about that sort of dichotomy between the two of them, and that there's a lot of give and take there, and they both have to know their roles, and they've been comfortable in those roles and haven't really sort of gotten outside their boundaries at all, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's something I think when you look at that relationship being able to continue this long, it obviously plays into it. Drafting well plays into it, finding good players and developing them. But there's also that relationship between the two and how important it is to kind of maintain that throughout. And that's something that all of those other, you know, groups have been able to do. And really, there's really no one in sight right now for Mike and Ted based on where they are at this point.
Yeah, I think the boundary thing you mentioned is really a key to this partnership working because, you know, we've seen before in Green Bay with Mike Holmgren, he wanted to be a GM. He got that, you know, full authority in Seattle when he left here. Mike McCarthy's never shown any interest in being a GM and being a personnel guy. He's a football coach.
Yeah.
He wants to coach his team. Ted Thompson, as a GM, he just wants to scout players. He's out scouting at the colleges all through the fall season, you know, just like all of the personnel guys under him. So these are two guys. They like where they are. They fit and they work well together. And it'll be interesting to see just how much longer they stay together.
Yeah, and even, you know, talking to McCarthy about this, he said it doesn't seem like when he walks into the building, it doesn't seem like it's been 10 years already. How quickly that time passes. I think you and I can both speak to that just in our own lives. And for him, he doesn't look at this. You know, he's the third longest tenured coach right now in the NFL.
Yeah.
He doesn't look at it like that.
No.
Ted Thompson's been here since 2005 in his current capacity. He doesn't look at it like that. And that's something that I think when you look at staying fresh and not allowing the job to sort of consume you with it being as 24/7, 365 as it is,
yeah,
that's an important factor into all that.
Yeah, and I remember talking to McCarthy a couple of years ago when he had reached, I believe it was the 8-year mark.
Right.
And he said, you know, I don't want to sound, you know, arrogant or conceited or anything, but I hope I'm at the halfway point. And that was when he was at 8 years. I mean, he wants to continue to coach in this league. I think he wants to continue to coach in Green Bay as long as the Packers will have him. Ted Thompson obviously is probably closer to retirement, but he's not dropping any hints as to when that might be. He still loves the work. He still, as I said, he loves to go out and hit the road as a scout and write those scouting reports just like he did 25, 30 years ago. So it's a really interesting it's an interesting partnership in how it's evolved too. Did you get any insight when you talked to them into maybe how it's changed a little bit from when McCarthy first came in 2006 to where he is now?
Well, the first thing McCarthy said was just when you look at the function of the NFL coach now, they aren't just an X's and O's person. They're the face of the franchise, especially with the popularity of the NFL today. That's something that he's had to get increasingly comfortable with because it goes along with the job responsibilities. And really going and talking about the evolution of the game, we hear so often when he talks about, you know, strength and conditioning and, you know, the way they train the football team, how that's changed. Well, there's also something to be said for how you go about running an organization in their own ways. You know, obviously, they're in their own niches in how they do things. But that's probably the thing that I think has been the biggest shift over those years. For Ted Thompson, he said there really isn't that much different in his book. It still comes down to football. It still comes down to finding good players, finding those diamonds in the rough, and unearthing them. And for him, he's kind of stayed along that side of trying to get good people, bring those guys in, and develop them to the best of this organization's abilities.
Yeah, and Ted Thompson doesn't force a player on Mike McCarthy. He doesn't tell Mike McCarthy how to coach his team, and Mike McCarthy doesn't tell Ted Thompson which players to keep, and that's one of the reasons this works. So with that, we'll throw it to a break, and we'll turn our attention after the break from the front office to some of the players on the field. We'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, let's turn our attention to some players on the field. My countdown to camp series, I call it, position-by-position roster review, overview, you might say, that leads up to training camp, began this week on Packers.com, starting with the quarterbacks. And when you're talking training camp and the preseason in particular, I think the quarterback everybody's going to be watching will not be Aaron Rodgers, but will be the backup Brett Hundley, his second year now out of UCLA, fifth-round draft pick. What did you see in Hundley's offseason this year, his second year in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the things, too. And you talk about a really talented quarterback and what you look for in a young, you know, developmental prospect. I think you've seen all those signs so far in Brett Hundley. And you and I have talked about this a lot, not even on the show, but just in general.
Yeah.
Just how he carries himself and really the composure that he has at all times. That was the thing that stuck out to me right from day one, before he even stepped on the field, is he has a lot of those kind of tangibles that you look for in a guy that's going to come in and really command a room. Now, obviously, he knows his place. He knows who the starting quarterback is.
Yep.
But the fact that he's kind of earned Aaron Rodgers' respect over this past year and a lot of those teammates, particularly on those scout teams, that's something that I think has bode well for his future and where he stands right now. And obviously the Packers' decision, how they proceeded with the offseason and Scott Tolzien leaving, speaks to the fact of where they feel he is and where he can get to as the number two.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy made some very strong comments about Hundley at the scouting combine. Alex Van Pelt, the quarterback's coach, followed that up during OTAs, talking to reporters. I was part of one of those conversations. And the interesting thing he mentioned is that the biggest improvement Hundley has made from year one to year two is with his footwork in the West Coast offense. Now, that sounds like kind of a simple thing, but in talking to Coach Van Pelt about it a little bit more, in the West Coast offense, the quarterback's footwork is timed up to the primary routes that are being run. It's not just, okay, this is a three-step drop or this is a five-step drop. It's the timing of it. You can't do it too fast. You can't do it too slow. That is all built in. This is really a more complicated thing than a lot of people maybe realize.
Absolutely. I'm going to actually turn the page on you a little bit. Pokemon is a big deal again, Spop. I don't know if you realize this.
Okay.
But they have something in Pokemon called individual values, and it's stuff that you can't teach. It's just what the Pokemon is.
All right.
And I'm going to turn that back now to Brett Hundley. He has a lot of the things that you look for in a quarterback, and obviously there's the arm, there's what you can do on the field, but there's also what's going on in your head. And I think that's what's really impressive about him, is he has been able to pick up those concepts. He was a good, really productive college quarterback, but he didn't come in acting like he knew everything. He knew there was areas that he had to get better, and there's areas that the coaches can help him with. So I think finding that mesh of what he brings to the table, both intellectually and also athletically, and what Alex Van Pelt brings him, I think is going to be a really good marriage for his potential going down the line.
Yeah, and one thing I thought, at least that I observed from Hundley during OTAs and minicamp, and the minicamp was kind of his show with Rodgers and the other veterans being excused. I saw a young quarterback who was challenging himself to make the tougher throws down the field, whether it was from the right hash to the left sideline, the deep seam routes down the hash marks. I mean, you and I have seen plenty of young quarterbacks come through in training camp. They drop back and they become check down Charlie. Immediately, the first look isn't there, so it's dump it off to the running back and get out of the way.
Right.
And Brett Hundley's not doing that. He really is challenging himself, and at the same time, he's having a lot of fun doing
right.
it. You talked about the command. You know, when he's in the huddle, the other players, you ask any of the other players, and, you know, his command in the huddle is the same as Aaron Rodgers, and that says a lot for a young guy who's just in his second season.
And especially operating in a no-huddle system, you know, there's a lot of pressure there. There's a lot of anxiety with being able to not only complete the play, but already start thinking immediately without a second, you know, wasted, is really something that I think can challenge a young quarterback and really, in some ways, allows that cream to rise to the top.
Yeah, and 5 preseason games for Brett Hundley this summer. It's going to be his time to shine. There's no doubt about that. He had a tremendous preseason last year, 129 passer rating. Now, statistically, who knows if he can match that? I think that's unrealistic to expect. But it'll be the things on film, the things in the huddle, all of those that the Packers will be evaluating, and he's going to have a lot of opportunity this summer because Aaron Rodgers is only going to take so many snaps in those 5 games. We know that.
Yeah, and we learned that last year, too, with the way that they handled him. And, you know, I think there was 2 games he might have set out of completely. I'm trying to think back in the top of my head.
Yeah.
Whatever the case may be for him and the backup quarterbacks that they bring into camp, there's going to be plenty of opportunities for all those guys to get on the field. And as Brett Hundley alluded to during the offseason program, those are things he has to capitalize on. You get an extra game, you get an extra 4 quarters to be able to take those snaps and make them count, considering if everything goes according to plan, he won't be needed during the regular season.
Yeah, for sure. Well, plenty more to talk about on offense after the break, and we'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. Wes, we talked about a young developmental player in the last segment. Let's shift gears and talk about a veteran player. I want to discuss Randall Cobb, wide receiver, a second-round draft pick in 2011. Now, this is a guy, he's always his own biggest critic.
Right.
And if there was one thing that came out of the interviews with Cobb during the offseason, during OTAs, it's that he did not hide the fact that he was not happy with how he played individually in 2015. He had got the new contract after the big year in 2014, and honestly, he feels like he didn't live up to it, and it bothers him. And that's a good thing from a psychological standpoint, I think. What do you see from Randall Cobb looking ahead now to 2016?
Well, it shows Cobb's maturity, first off. Mike McCarthy talked about this when they gave the Veterans Day off, or the Veterans Week off for minicamp. It almost hit him as strange that Randall Cobb is now among those guys. He's still only 25, but he's among those players. I didn't have as much of an issue with Randall Cobb's season as Randall Cobb did. And obviously, you're always going to be your own worst critic.
Yeah.
But the thing was, there was a lot of things working against him. During that time that he talked with us, didn't mention the fact that he had the sprained AC joint, you know, for the first...
And that was
8 weeks of the season.
That was a pretty nasty shoulder
injury,
too.
I didn't even miss a practice. I'm trying to remember. Maybe one?
Yeah, here or there, maybe.
Didn't talk about that. Didn't talk about the fact that he lost his running partner, you know, and Jordy Nelson. Talked about that he didn't execute. If you get Jordy Nelson back, if you get Ty Montgomery back, you can start using Randall Cobb to his maximum potential.
Yeah.
And that was one thing that it just, the way the season worked and the resources that got taken away from the offense, it put more focus on Cobb. And I think he felt, you know, that he didn't meet those standards that he should have. But at the end of the day, I don't know how much you can draw out of that season going into 2016.
Yeah, I agree with you. Statistically, the biggest thing that changed with Cobb was the yards per catch. Dropped from 14 yards per catch in 2014 when he had that big year to 10.5. And we all know Randall Cobb is not a catch and fall down guy. He's not just a move the chains kind of guy. He's a yards after the catch guy.
Right.
It's catch the ball in space, make a move. And as you talked about, if this Packers offense gets back to where all of its weapons are there, Randall Cobb will have more matchups to exploit. more space within which to work. But that being said, he still takes it upon himself to make those plays when he's called upon, to be the big play guy. And he was reliable, but right. he wasn't the big play guy that he expects himself to be. And because of that, and because of the attitude that I saw from him through the off-season program, I think he's going to have a big year.
Yeah, I do too. And, you know, we got to see where Jordy Nelson's at, you know, when you get back into camp and where things are at with him. But you look at the amount of weapons that are sort of aligned right now for this offense. Randall Cobb is still a matchup nightmare. And if you can get him one-on-one, you know, with a linebacker, with, you know, a nickel corner, a safety, there's so many ways that you can exploit a defense. And the Packers just weren't able to do that last year for one reason or another.
Yeah, we saw defensive coordinators determined to take Cobb out of the game and make the other receivers beat him.
But at the same time, you go to the Arizona game and the play that he got hurt on, if that doesn't get waved off, there's just those little moments that could have been so epic. So I think that's what you go back to and you say, those flashes are still there. It's not like Randall Cobb is regressing. He's 25 years old. He'll turn 26 in next month, but he's still in the prime of his career, and there's a lot of potential there for him. And obviously we've seen what this offense can do when they have all those guys together.
Yeah, and already a big year off the field for Randall Cobb.
Yeah.
Graduating from the University of Kentucky, becomes the first member of his immediate family to graduate from college, and this is a big deal to him, you know, and not just that, you know, Aaron Rodgers showed up at the ceremony in Kentucky to cheer him on and whatnot, which I thought was a pretty cool thing. But this is big. Randall Cobb looks at himself as a role model, not only for, you know, all the kids and young football fans out there, but for people in his own family, for, you know, the areas, you know, that he represents from his youth, Tennessee and Kentucky and those areas. A big offseason for Randall Cobb, I think, could lead to a big in-season for Randall Cobb.
Yeah, it was a cool moment, too, for him when you go back, and it, I don't know, you probably have to do some more research on what you and I can talk about here in a few minutes into his upbringing and where he comes from, but this was a gratifying moment for him. It meant enough for him that he was in the middle of the off-season program, that he was going back, and obviously was still finishing up a couple credits here and there, but he already talked about it with us, and I think he mentioned to you, he's already thinking about that next step too, and, you know, trying to maybe get the MBA right after this.
Yeah, so. I don't think he's done going to school. He may put it on hold for a while now that you say he's in the prime of his career.
Right, that's
so.
Kind of important to
yeah,
me,
all right.
So.
Well, with that, we'll throw it to a break, and we'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, let's dive into a topic that has kind of become a hot-button topic, you might say, this offseason, going for the two-point conversion. We've heard from quarterbacks like Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh and Drew Brees in New Orleans saying, hey, they want to go for two every time. Mike McCarthy made a comment during OTAs and minicamp that as an offensive coach, he would have no problem doing that because he feels he could convert at least 50% of the time and come out even on the whole points balance thing. But it's not just a percentage game here. So where do you fall on this issue?
Well, I've always been a, you know, bird of the hand kind of guy rather than, you know, the two out in you know, the other side of the football field. But the way I look at it is I get why this is becoming an issue in the NFL and why people are talking about it. You had the changes with what they did with the extra point.
Right.
And, you know, Packers were one of four. We've talked about this. One of four or five.
Yeah.
That did not miss an extra point last year. A lot of teams did.
Yeah, Crosby didn't miss one. And, yeah. And
think of the Detroit game last year. That almost changed the in Green Bay. Where,
absolutely.
You know, they
gave
were
the Packers
there.
A shot at the end there.
Yeah, so I get why people are starting to talk about this. Pittsburgh obviously had a rough year last year with the injuries. But I'm still always going to play it conservative. I think the online gamers like to go for two. I know I always hated those people when I was younger, and they would always destroy me, and I wouldn't be able to ever make the two-point conversion. But Mike McCarthy has a lot more confidence in his offense than I did in my video game ability. So I agree with it, though. I see why he's talking that way. It's the ultimate confidence in your offense. Very interested to see what this preseason looks like. Maybe what they test out, and then what it could potentially be in the regular season.
Yeah, I think in the preseason we're going to see a lot of teams testing out their two-point plays and trying to get a feel for what will work. It's amazing how much a missed PAT can impact a game. You mentioned the Detroit
deflating
game. The AFC Championship last year, Steven Gostkowski for the Patriots had not missed a 33-yard extra point all season long. He misses one in the AFC title game, and that ends up being the deciding factor, essentially. So
it does make the game more exciting. I agree with
There's no question about it.
There is no gimmies there anymore.
You don't run to the fridge as soon as the touchdown is scored now, because you got to watch that PAT. So.
Absolutely. So it's making it a lot more dramatic. But it also is starting to make teams think a little bit more, too.
Yeah, and we talked about Randall Cobb in the last segment and him leaving the Arizona playoff game. I think a lot of fans will always wonder what might have happened in that game had Cobb not gotten hurt. But they also wonder, you know, in hindsight, what might have happened if Mike McCarthy had gone for two after the Hail Mary to Jeff Janis rather than playing for the tie in the overtime. Obviously, hindsight is 20/20, but it is an interesting debate. So let's go back to January for just a second. At the time, Jeff Janis catches that. They're reviewing it. We're believing it's going to be a touchdown and it's going to stand up. Did you think the Packers were going to go for two, or would you have gone for two if you're Mike McCarthy?
I think the Packers are going to get the extra point. We're going to take the 1 point extra point. And if it was me, I could not have gotten Mason Crosby on the field fast enough to kick it. You have to think about this, and I know, as you said, hindsight's 20/20, but the way the defense was performing at that point in the game, it's one of the reasons the Packers were able to mount the comeback that they did, was their defense playing the way they did in the second half. So, it's always going to be something you're going to think back to, but I'm sure it would have been a big issue, too, if the Packers did try to go for it, and then they don't get it. And people are wondering, why didn't you trust the defense that had kept you in the game?
Yeah, and
you can't win.
Yeah, right. And I think I'm with you. I would have sent out Crosby to kick it and play for overtime with the way the defense was playing. And also, with Randall Cobb not in the game, Devontae Adams was injured and missed the game. You're down to James Jones, Jared Aberderis, and Jeff Janis as your wide receivers. And it's hard to say how much those guys had even practiced the 2-point plays and whatnot. So, we're done with the revisionist history for now. And that'll do it for this edition of Packers Unscripted. Follow him on Twitter at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the Team Twitter account. Thanks for watching, everybody, and we'll see you next time.